Kings chapter 4. Listen, at the end of the service, we have a Make Room t-shirt. And I want you to declare that. This is what's going to happen in your life this year. And we have, this is the sweatshirt that I'm wearing. The sweatshirt is $20 if you want to purchase it. It comes looking like this. Barbara, wave your hand. She did that. It don't come with slits in the side. You got to do that yourself. You can do whatever you want to do with it. Just keep the Make Room on the front. All right? All right? And I want you to declare that over your life. And at the end of service, you can sign up to get one of those. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. There is an investment that you have to make whenever you're getting ready to make room for something in your life. And I'm going to use an Old Testament story of a prophet by the name of Elisha. And he encountered a Shunammite woman. She built a house for him. She ended up having a child. The child died and was revived. But it was revived because of a make room faith investment. If many of you in this room, there were some things that God is challenging you to make room for, but it's going to require an investment that's going to produce an incredible return in the name of Jesus. If I'm speaking to you in this place today, there's some things you're making room for, and there's things that God is expanding you. Can you do me a favor? Lift your hands now. Father, we receive wisdom. We receive instructions on how to make room for what it is you're bringing in our lives in the name of Jesus. 2 Kings chapter 4. On the screen there, verse 8. I want you to follow with me as we talk about how to make this faith investment. Now there came a day when Elijah went over to Shunem, where there was a prominent and influential woman. Ladies, can you holler back at me? There was a prominent and influential woman. Ladies, y'all talk. There was a prominent. Do I have any prominent and influential women in the room? And the Bible said she persuaded him to eat a meal. This persuasion had nothing to do with her femininity. Had nothing to do with her hips, lips, or fingertips. Talk back to me in here. Do I got any gifted, talented, purpose-driven women in here who are prominent and influential, and God is using you in an incredible way in the name of Jesus? Ladies, talk back to me. Any ladies in here want to walk in prominence, want to walk in influence? Say, let it be me, God. And she persuaded him to eat a meal. And afterwards, when he passed by, he stopped there for a meal. She did something that I'm not sure that would happen in 2020. I don't know what year this was written, in the year 2 BC, whatever they wrote this. She said to her husband, watch this. This is how much influence she had. Behold, I sense this man is a holy man of God who frequently passes her way. Please let us make a small, fully walled upper room on the housetop and put a bed in there for him. Lord. With a table, a chair, and a lampstand. You got to be influential and carry a level of prominence to go to your husband and say, this man comes by, and we need to build this man a room. And I know you ain't met him, but he needs a room in the house. Y'all right in here? But there must have been something about her prominence and her influence that you don't hear about an argument happening or 21 questions being played after the request was made. She said, whenever he comes to visit us, he can turn there. Making an investment first in yourself builds influence and prominence so that you can make things happen. Anybody want to see some stuff happen in your life? This lady, watch this, Elisha valued what she said so much that he said, all right, I'll come and visit whenever I come in town. The first thing in investing and making a room is this. You got to invest in your potential to increase your capacity. This woman made an investment with what she had. All of us all over this room, you may not have what the next man has, but you have something. Potential is what God has blessed us with. my potential, I have to recognize that God has blessed me with certain things and he's blessed you with certain things. What I do with my potential creates something called capacity. Let me put a pin there. A lot of us are going through what we call a tough time now. But what we call a tough time is not really tough to somebody else. Tough is all determined by your capacity to deal with pressure. You can be smart, but are you smart enough to deal with where you are right now? Potential is only as good as the capacity that it has to work in. And I got to let God stretch me so I can have some capacity. This lady made an investment with her potential to create capacity for the man of God to come live at her house, and her husband was good with it. Here's the thing that I've learned. If we want something, we got to make room for it. A lot of us say we want stuff, but we don't have room for it. Andy Irie said, are you ready for love? But are you really? Because bitterness is occupying the place that love wants to reside. Are you really ready for God to bring through some great things? Because if you were, we would perhaps do things different. If you want something, you got to make room for it. Can you do me a favor? Just ask your neighbor this question. Do you have room for what God wants to bring to you? Because it would be a shame for what God has for you to show up and you don't have the capacity for it in the name of Jesus. So not only do I invest with my potential to create capacity to make room for what God has for me, I got to also understand investing is a sacrifice. The sacrifice of investing is giving up something now so I can have more later. I love how Dave Ramsey put it. He said, you got to live like no other now so you can live like no other later. When I invest, I release something from my present to create something better in my future. I may leave worse off when I invest than what I'm going to have, but it's going to work out in the end. The investment is going to cost you something. But can I tell you something about investing? Investing is different than spending. Y'all know I love Krispy Kreme donuts, right? If you follow me on social media, you know that I love the hot ones. And we saw the favor of God work last night because that sign was not on. And I was with Josiah and Isaiah, and I said, no, we're going to go in because we're going to have a talk. And I'm going to ask him when this light come on. And, y'all, I was prepared for the talk, and when I walked in, I saw these little things just dropping off the little sliding in the grease. I saw the little icicle, and I said, y'all, they hot. We walked up there and got them, and the favor of God was working. But here's the challenge. Buying donuts is spending. It's not investing in Krispy Kreme. If I want to invest in Krispy Kreme, it's not a matter of buying more dozens every day. It could be saying no to the dozens this month and investing in Krispy Kreme stock. Because it's one thing to spend your money, but it's another thing to invest your money. It's another thing to spend your time than to invest your time. A lot of us got a lot of relationships that are not bringing a return because you're not invested in them. You're spending time with them. And there's a difference between spending time with me and investing in me. You're not going to get the same return. You can spend time with anybody, but to get the return of who that person is, you got to invest everything you have into. You all right in here? So when I invest, it's going to cost me something. May have to do some stuff I don't like. May have to bite my tongue sometime. May have to sacrifice because it's an investment. Yes, most of us want more, but can I ask you a question? Are you willing to sacrifice for more? Sacrifice is what turns desire into reality, and it separates dreamers from doers. How do I sacrifice? Let's make that tangible. Here's how we sacrifice. Here's how you make room and investment. You do it through praise and worship. And you do it through prayer. For me, this is why I'm not quiet. This is why I used to be very reserved when it comes to worship. And I'm not wild or anything like that. But I was so worried about what people said about me. If they saw me crying, what's wrong with him? Saw my hands lifted. Why he doing all that? And I would worry. If I wanted to shout and move my feet a little bit, I'm afraid people going to go home and mock my shout. Because I mocked everybody else's shout. Afraid y'all going to capture me on Instagram and say, Lord, look at the preacher. Look what he's got going on up there. But when I learned that my praise and my worship makes room for God, I understand I don't have time for pride because I need all of God that I can get. When you praise and when you worship, you create a space, because the Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. And I want a place for God to invade. You know what it looks like to heaven when we worship and praise God? It looks like us saying, come on. I know you're everywhere, but I want you personally here. I know you're omnipresent. You're everywhere at the same time, but I need you to show up and show out in my life. Is there anybody in here, can we pause for about 30 seconds, that said, God, I need all of you in my life. Can you make room for a moment with praise and worship? Now, how many Titans fans do I have in here? How many of y'all went nuts yesterday when they put it on them Ravens? Now, I want y'all to go nuts when they win the AFC Championship and when they go to the Super Bowl. Give it up. Tighten up. But if we can do it for a football team. Serious. We can do it to make room for God. Can you help me make room in here? Father, you have room to do whatever you want to do in my life. I'm investing in this moment and saying, have your way in me. It's not even about my neighbor, because they don't know the pressure that I'm under. It's not about being emotional. It's about my faith saying, I need you right now. All right. Woo. Jesus. Worship and praise are so strong that Paul and Silas did it, and not only did it free them, but it freed everything around them. You don't know, when you're worshiping and praising and praying, it won't just let you loose, it's letting everything around you loose. Anybody ready to come out some stuff this morning? Anybody ready for God to, I feel something pushing me here for a moment. If you're ready to God to do something, you're like, can you grab somebody by the hand? You don't have to do this, but if you're ready to come out and say, neighbor, I'm coming out of this thing this morning. And when I come out, I'm not coming out by myself. Matter of fact, go on and tug them, say, we both coming out this morning. We walking out of whatever you walking in. And by faith, I'm making room for healing. I'm making room through my worship. You may not feel like it, but this one's on me. I got a way to go. Y'all sit down. Y'all sit down. Worship and praise make room. Yeah. What else makes room? Shout on this one. Intentional relationships make room. When you get ready to go to the next place in life, you need to connect with somebody going to another place. I was at this pastor's roundtable, and they asked, be honest, be transparent about where you are. And I said, I feel stuck. And he said, you want to know how to get unstuck? Oh, I got my phone out. I got ready for a revelation from God. You know how you get ready from God? You get on the edge of your seat. Like, ooh, speak to me. He said, here's how you do it. You start hanging around unstuck people. He said, because it is almost illegal to stay stuck if you're with unstuck people. If you're around growing people, they are making room in their life, and you'll see the momentum they have going, and you're going to get going. Here's what you'll see. At 4:45, when people get up in the morning to go work out, and you're dreaming about Krispy Kreme, you at least thinking about it. You all right in here? Do you want to know the honest difference between really where you are and where you want to go as a relationship? You think about this. Many of us are self-driven. Some of us are not. But the biggest difference if you go to a, y'all stop shouting. But the biggest difference if you go to a gym, if you enlist a trainer, do you know the biggest difference between where you are and where you want to be? That person that says, one more. Because there's a whole lot in that one more. Because when you're by yourself, I'm going to quit when I get tired. But if I got somebody standing over me, say, one more. You got one more minute in you? You got one more rep. No, oh, no, don't you stop. Don't you quit right there. Because sometimes you can't push yourself. You need somebody to help you make room and push you to that next place. Look at your neighbor and say, you got one more in you. That part about you're going to stay in, that part about you're going to quit. No, you got one more in you. How else do I sacrifice to create room? I should have did the praise and worship last. You take this journey called debt freedom. You sacrifice now. We're like, anybody just get tired of looking at just like debt and like, this is not the will of the Father. Like, no, I know I like looking fresh. I like looking clean. I like going, but just in this season, making room means less. Making room means I know I could buy this, but in this season, I don't need 10 pair. In this season, I don't have to post it, Ruth Chris. In this season, you all right? It's not about flogging. It's not about putting on for everybody else. In this season, do I really need cable? In this season, do I really need, no, this is called making room. In this season, do I really got to go there? In this season, do I really need a new Michael Kors? In this season, sometimes it means, God, I'm praying for this car, but give me one more year. You know, that one more rep, God, I anoint this car. Give me one more year before I can get this thing taken care of. Why? Because it's worth the journey. Another way you make room, should have put praise and worship last, is through honoring. This woman honored the man of God by creating a room. A lot of us dishonor our way out of blessings. To honor you don't mean I got to like you. To honor you don't mean I got to agree with you. To honor you means I got to treat you the way you deserve. The Bible says you deserve to be treated. That's from elected officials. That's to your parents. I don't care if your parents are strung out on crack and you pass them going down the road. It is never biblical to dishonor them. It don't mean give them your wallet, but that's still your parents. It don't even mean trust them. It just says honor them for who they are. Satan talks many of us out of our blessings because we dishonor the people in our life because they upset us. And let me tell you something. There are some people who act dishonorably that pull that stuff out of you. But even in those moments, make room. I got to ask myself, am I making room for a fight or am I making room for peace? Because some of us, you're too old to be going to jail. You're too old to be losing jobs because you cuss somebody out. No, when you were 18, 19, I understand that. But at 50... What happened over there, child? They got on my nerves, and I just went in and let everybody. And your kid just sitting there looking at you, and you done whipped them because they done cussed their teacher out. Your attitude makes room. You will be surprised what a smile does. You sit around here smiling and just frowning and wonder why nobody spoke to you. They scared. You look like you cuss. At people out all the time. Of course they're not speaking to you. Your attitude makes room. I'm serious. Go into work tomorrow and shake some hands. Smile. Say hello. I don't feel like it. There's a whole lot of stuff we don't feel like doing that makes room for what we want. You all right in here? Another thing, I probably should put this in first. Do you know what makes room? And Barbara and I have made this commitment that regardless of whatever financial state that we're in, we're going to tithe, we're going to give, and when we're going to sow. As a matter of fact, when we're at our tightest, it's time to sow. This, I'm not saying this because I'm a pastor. My parents taught me cutting a yard for $10 because after I was cutting it for free, then they started paying me. And mommy used to give me 10 ones, and they said $1 goes back to the Lord. So started when I was young, when you honor God through the seed. And I get asked this all the time because many in this room are in different places when it comes to tithing. And you may not, I don't put pressure on people when it comes to giving. That's between you and God. And people ask, should I give my electric bill or should I give my tithe? I want to let you know they're not the same. In every paycheck is an electric bill and a tithe. In every paycheck there is a mortgage. There is all the things that God has made room for you. And if I don't have room, make room for it, I may ask myself, God, in this season, what do I need to cut that I don't need to do what I do need? In this season of your life, there may be I don't have the money to date my spouse. In every paycheck there is what you need to do what you need to do. God has, I'm talking to somebody, he has made room for you to do what you need to do. And you may have to ask yourself, what do I need to cut so that I can do? Do I really need cable? I said it before in this season. Does everybody need like an iPhone 11 I got this 10 to X. I think I found out it was a 10. I was going to say an iPhone X. That's the 10. I said, he told me that. The 11 came out. It got three little cameras. I'm like, boy, your phone better than mine. But guess what? In this season, if it get tight, we might be sharing. I say, I'm going to use the iPad to preach. You can play little games when we get home. Why? Because we're making, that's horrible. Horrible. I went to Uganda and these kids were walking with yellow buckets, pumping water, taking it to their house with no running water, with a hut outside, with no utility. Horrible. God been good to us in this room. You all right in here? We live in one of the most blessed places you can ever imagine. I know you complaining about God. I want an extra bedroom and we ain't got that. You got running water. Thank you. You ain't taking a bath once a week. You got good soap. Bottles of soap. Bath and Body Works, $3.50 when it went on clearance. Every fragrance you want, soap. Good to us. Two feet, 30 pairs of shoes. Still ain't got nothing to wear. There's a point where you got, I'm serious, make room. Somebody say make room. I got stuck right there. Faith makes room for a great ROI. ROI is a return on investment. I'm not spending, I'm investing. The sacrifices I'm making are going to make an incredible return in the name of Jesus. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 11. Let me get where I'm going with the scripture. One day he came there. They made a room for him, and he turned into the upper room and laid down to rest. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and she stood before him. Now he said to Gehazi, say to her now, you've gone through all this trouble for us. Let us give you a return. What can we do for you? What is an ROI? It's just like a formula just there on the screen. The value of my investment minus the cost of my investment over the cost, and I want it to be above one. What does that mean for you? What people are pulling from you is it as great as what they're putting in you. You seeing a return on that relationship. Shout on that. Where I'm at, is it pulling more from me or is it putting things into me? I want to know if I invest in this, is it going to give a return? I may leave worse in the beginning. We didn't about break them, but my parents invested a lot in me and my brother and sister. And I made it a commitment that I want them to see a return on what they sacrificed for me. My parents, I looked at it, there was a picture, Kevin, at your wedding, and my daddy had my tie on. I said, Daddy got my tie on. But I thought about that. Daddy could have bought him custom suits and ties. But because he made an investment, they made an investment to put us through school. He was wearing mine when he could have been out doing all other kind of stuff. There comes a point in life when you're making room for an investment that I got to ask myself, are $30 and $40 pair of shoes good so that my son and my wife can be okay? Or am I more interested in my own return or how I feel and how things make me feel than I am my responsibility? Y'all right in here? What is the scripture? What she said? Then she said, would you like to be, he asked her, he said, would you like to be mentioned, I'm sorry if I'm coming off like fussing, but it's just the reality. Would you like to be mentioned to the king or the captain of the army? Listen to what she said. She good. She said, I live among my own people in peace and security, and I need no special favors. And then she said, I'm good. I'm loaded. I got much means. I'm smart. I got prominence. I got influence. I don't need nothing. You have, matter of fact, I built you a room. You got to remind somebody sometime. She had to remind you. You do remember I built you the room. I have prominence. I have influence. But it was something that she did not have. Later, Elisha said, what is then to be done for her? Gehazi answered, she has no son and her husband is old. He said, call her. So Gehazi called her and she came and stood in the doorway. Elisha said, at this season next year, you will embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord. She was real proper with it. Oh, man of God. Don't lie to your maidservant. You know what she said? Don't play with me. Don't you play with me. They told me in 2019 I was coming out. 2018, I thought it was my year. 20, y'all been in church for a while. You done heard all the prophecies. You done sent out all the little chain mails, send this out, and you're going to get blessed immeasurably. I done been prayed over. I done fell out. I done frothed at the mouth. I done shouted. And now you come to tell me this time next year, I've heard that. She said, don't play with me. But Elisha was getting her to a point that, ma'am, there is some stuff that money cannot buy. There is some stuff that your influence cannot do. There is some stuff that God reserves for himself. Because watch this. If you are not careful, when you get to a place where you are doing well, you will tell yourself, I don't need nobody. You could turn into a fantasia when people don't do like you want them to. If you don't want me, then don't talk to me. Go ahead and free yourself. You all right? If you don't want, when you get to a place of financial stability, when you get to a place when your confidence is where it should be, it is very easy to cut people off that you need to be cutting in. And it's not because they're going to hurt you. It's because they don't do what you want them to do. But he said, ma'am, there's some things in your life that your money cannot buy. There's some stuff that your influence cannot get you. There are some things in your life that God wants to do that only God can do. He said, I don't want money to be your idol. I don't want your influence and your success to be your idol. There is a place that I've carved out in you that nobody can do but me. But he said, let's give this woman a return that she'll know without a shadow of doubt couldn't nobody do it but God. This ain't for everybody in the room, but somebody who's in faith. God is about to do some stuff your money cannot buy. He's about to do some stuff your degrees cannot get. He's about to do some stuff you can't even smart your way into it. He's going to do some stuff that by the time you get finished, you say, can't nobody but God do the things that I have in my life. If you receive that, say, God, let it be. Now, on the flip side of this, she came to the woman and she said, I really don't need anything. Some of you in this room say, well, that point right there disqualified me. Because if anybody ever asked me what I need, I got a list. And it's full. And I got another one at home. So is that really? Yes. Because here's the reality. Most of us don't even know what we need in the first place. Because half of the stuff we're asking for, we really don't need it. And there comes a point in life, anybody glad that God ever told you no? Anybody glad that God didn't let you do half the stuff you wanted to? And even when you did do it and he said no, he still came and rescued you out of it. Oh, y'all real quiet on that one in here. But he said, I want to send a return on your investment. And when you get in faith, the investment goes to work for you. That's why you can believe God regardless of your situation, because when God makes you a promise, he's going to bring a return. Let me give you the stages of God's return on investment. The first thing he does, I'm going to give you the first, third, then I'm going to give you the second. The first thing he does is he makes you a promise. The last thing he does is he delivers. We are good with the promise because we shout on it. God, I got a witness in my spirit. Everything going to be all right. God's going to bring me through. God's going to work it out. And then when it happens, oh, we're going to tell everybody about when it happens. Our challenge is the middle, the in-between time. When I know what you said, but it ain't happened yet. And when it ain't happened yet, it makes me question what you said. I don't want false hope, man. Don't play with me. When you are in the middle, I'm praying for some people who are in the middle right now. You're in the middle of what God said and what God's going to do. And it's an awkward stage because you want to praise God, but you don't want to get too excited because you don't know how long this is going to last. It takes 45 minutes for me to bake my lemon cake. It takes 6 minutes on each side for me to cook my steak. It takes about 30 minutes for me to cook this soup that I cook in the Instapot from start to finish. But I don't know how long it takes for God to bless me. I got a recipe for my steak. I got a recipe for my steak. But God, how long? God's got a timer that he keeps hid from us. And here's the thing about coming out of God's kitchen too soon. You may come out looking good on the outside, but not done on the inside. And when God releases stuff, it's never rare. It's never medium rare. It's always well done. Never burnt, never overdone. It's just well done. I want to encourage you in this place. You're going to get a return. I got stuck there. But God's going to work it out for you, but you may feel stuck in the middle. The next thing that happens here. Faith places a demand on your make room investment. Let me watch what happens here. When the child was grown, the day came. What was the child? Somebody say it again. Say it again. That he went out to his father to the reapers. But he said to his father, my head, The man said to his servant, what did it say? They've been doing it since the year two. I don't know when they wrote this. Take them to your mama. Grown man running to his daddy. Take him to your mama. And look what he did when they took him. He carried him and brought him to his mother. And he sat on her. Lord Jesus, y'all would make fun of a grown man sitting on his mama's lap until noon and died. She went up, laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door behind him and left. Long story short, she told her servant, get the buggy, get the horse, whatever ready. We're going to see the man of God. Took the son to the room and said, we're going to see him because I'm going to pull on power. I got to make a demand because it's not going to end like this. God didn't bring me this far to leave me. God's going to bring us through in this moment. Verse 28, this is what he said. She went to the man of God and said, did I ask for a son? No, can I talk like I think she talked? Did I come find you and say, give me a son? You said you're going to give me a son. Did anybody in this room write this Bible? Did you tell God he was going to heal you? Did you tell God you were the head and not the tail? God made you a promise and you believed it. And when your situation don't line up with the word, God, you said you were healed. You said you were a deliverer. And she said, don't give me false hope. Two things you got to do to place a demand. Number one, you got to take what you have, place a demand on the investment. The same room that she made for the man of God to rest, she honored him and that birthed the child, is the same room she took the blessing and put it back in. She had enough sense not to do it herself. She said, I'd invested in something and I'm going to take him back to the same room. The same promise that God made you is still relevant in your life. It don't expire. God, you said you were going to do this. You said the sword and the plague. You said this had been removed. And she took the problem back to the promise. You know, the problem is we are telling our promise about our problem. There comes a point in life where you got to tell your problems, I got a promise greater than you. She took the promise. I don't care if it's your children. I don't care what. Before you got frustrated, take them back to the moment where God said you're going to have a great family. You all right in here? And not only did that, let me tell you what she had enough sense to do so she didn't lose her mind. A lot of us carry our problems with us. Notice what she did. She took her problem to the room that she created and shut the door. First thing you got to do to get in faith is shut the door. You got to figure out who do I need to put out and who needs to come in. Because when you in faith, you can't be around everything. There are some stuff that will mess with your faith. There was a moment, it's not personal, it's purposeful. I'm in a different place. It don't mean I'm going to ignore you, but it means that I'm in a place where I got to get something from God. And she shut the door on opinions and watch what she did. She left her problem with the investment, and she didn't care with it. She went by herself to the man of God. Many of us are not leaving our problems with the investment that God made in our life. We're carrying them with us, and we're trying to take them with us and get to hear from God. I want to tell many of you in this room who are having a problem being focused with what's going on, you're carrying stuff that God said, I want you to leave it where it is. Can you be in this moment for the next 10 minutes? Can you be in this moment and let that stuff be where it is? Because when you get there, it's still going to be what it is, but I want you to be different. Here's what I found out when you get in faith. She went to the man of God, and she did not come back the same. She went to the man of God, and the man of God came back to her house. And he said, he spoke life into that child. I want to tell you in this place, leave your problems with God. You have made an investment in prayer. You made an investment in the word of God. You made an investment in going to school or whatever. Place it there and say, God, I need a return. You yourself, while you leave your burdens there, go to God and say, God, work on me. God, work on my heart. Work on my faith. Work on my frustration in the name of, somebody say, make a demand. The last thing, and I'm finished, she did this. When you make faith investments, you make room for great dividends. 2 Kings 4:32, watch what happens. Elisha came to the house and the child was dead, laying on his bed. She didn't bring him the child. She put the child in where she made an investment. And she brought him to the investment. So he went in, shut the door behind him. He had enough sense to do the same thing and prayed to the Lord. He went up and laid on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, hands on his hands, and stretched himself out on him and held the boy, and the boy's skin became warm. Stop right there. There are some stuff you can't do for yourself. Now, you don't have to go through all these actions they went through right here, but sometimes you need somebody to walk you through the moment. There are some lifeless moments in your life that you need somebody to come speak life to you to revive what God wants to do. Verse 35, what did he say? He returned and walked in the house once back and forth, went up again, stretched himself out. The boy sneezed 7 times, opened his eyes, and Elisha called the Shunammite woman. So he called her, and when she came, he said, pick up your son. I'm finished, but you got a dividend to pick up. And you don't have false hope. I close with this story. My dad used to drive for UPS, and when he moved into management, they start doing something for him every year around Christmas. And we would wait for Daddy to get home because he got home late. And Mama said, I'll keep your pajamas on, but I came in from Chattanooga, Knoxville. I should have asked you between services. But she said, we're going on a road trip as soon as your daddy get home. Daddy was normally tired, and he normally would come home, take his shoes off, and sit down, but he wasn't tired that day. We drove all the way, probably about 2 hours. Me and Jonathan that was in the back seat, and I was trying to figure out, where in the world are we going? But I was one of them ear hustlers when I was young. I could find out everything that was going on. And I heard Mama and Daddy talking about where we're going. And he said, I got to pick up my Christmas bonus. Daddy didn't trust the mail to deliver it. They've been working for years, delivering mail. But Daddy said, I'm going to pick mine up. Can I tell somebody in this room that Satan's trying to talk you out of picking up what's yours? He's putting you in depression. He's putting you in doubt. He's putting you in shame. But you got a dividend that's waiting for you to pick up. You done invested too much in this journey to quit now. I know you made mistakes. I know there are things that are not worked in your favor. But God said, this is the time to get up. Because I'm not paying a dividend based off your actions, but what I've done for you. And I'm about to bring some great returns in your life in the name of, gee, my time is up. Stand to your feet all over the building. Make room. Every head bowed, every eye closed.